This Week in Nature is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for your free 30 days trial at audibletrial.com/TWIA for your free audiobook. Hey, welcome back to This Week in Asia, episode 117. And today we are joined by our friend Dr. Sakan Toto, all the way from Tokyo. Sakan, are you watching Euro actually? Are you watching football?
Yeah, of course. We won all three games so far, so I'm very happy.
Damn it, I haven't.
I'm German, by the way. So the German team won all three games, just as a background.
I think we have some German news also in Asia, but we'll talk about that later. I have not actually watched it, actually. Dr. Bernard Leung, who is down in Singapore, do you follow the Euro?
Yes, I know. I've been following it. So, Sakan, the next match is against Greece. It's a rematch of the 2004.
I think after the game, the Greeks will have a little bit more to complain about us.
Okay. But it's going to be a pretty good game anyway.
Well, the Greeks actually have a new government in place, which is actually pro-bailout, so I'm happy with that. I haven't actually known much about the news anyway.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
Well, we can start off by Sakan telling us a little bit about B-Launch, an event that happens in Seoul, right?
Yes, so it took place, from June... I think 13th to 14th, so it was a two-day event. It was, advertised to be the first startup conference in South Korea that can be called international.
Really?
I
would like to compete that, basically. Chang organized Open Web Asia in maybe 2008.
Right. They kind of like glossed over that detail, it seems.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the biggest one. So, B-Launch, during those two days, 1,500 people showed up.
Wow.
So it was gigantic. So, they rented a gigantic room in a big conference center in the middle of Seoul, basically. And it was just gigantic. It was really big.
I know Matt Marshall was actually there. Any interesting people... who were at B-Launch?
Yes, so from VentureBeat, Matt Marshall came, the editor-in-chief. Then Megan Kelly, a staff writer, was also there, also from VentureBeat. And from GigaOM, Ryan Kim came. He's also an accomplished writer. He was also there in Seoul to cover the event.
Wow, quite fantastic. Any local presenters that we should be aware of?
Who's the big guys in Seoul that were on B-Launch 2012. Anybody from Samsung at least?
They were there, but I didn't talk to them. So I think they were also not really on stage, because it was what I liked about the conference was that it was really a startup focused event. So they put a lot of effort into giving the startups as much exposure as possible. But the usual suspects were there, right? I mean, people from Samsung, from LG, but also from the big game companies like Nexon, NCSoft, from Google. People from Google were there. From every venture capital company that's active in South Korea was there, obviously. Then people from Amazon were there, from Amazon Web Services. And also some visitors from Japan and other Asian countries, people from Microsoft, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Or what about like telcos, for example, like SK Telecoms? They are probably the largest, like Singtel, the equivalent of Singtel in Korea, basically, South Korea.
They were there. Yeah, they were there. For example, SK was there with SK Planet.
Uh-huh.
It's basically a sub-brand of SK. So those guys did have a booth there, because they also had like a startup booth with, I think, close to 50 startups that were exhibiting during the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that anybody any big company was missing from the list. I mean, again, it was 1,500 people, and it was just a gigantic conference. And I think that I think that Korea is not big enough that one of these companies can say, well, okay, we're going to ignore this, ignore this event. It doesn't make any sense.
So who organized it? Is it like done by some local events group, or is it like done by a big organization, or is it just a bunch, like in E27's case, it's just a bunch of young kids decided to organize something and then grow it bigger and bigger?
The young kids are no longer young kids.
Yeah, they've all grown up already.
That's a good question. I mean, it's very much like the E27 model, right? So you have a media platform, basically, like E27 in Singapore and in Japan and in South Korea. It's this new, relatively new startup technology media platform or blog that you can call it. It's called B-Success. Mm-hmm. So okay. B-Success is the name of the startup blog that's available in Korean and English. And the guys that are running that, it was basically just one guy. The guy is called James Jung. Mm-hmm. And that person basically, single-handedly put together the entire event, got roped. He roped in sponsors, speakers, the attendees, and all the startups that were there, etc. So it was basically almost entirely done by one person.
We should actually get be success on our show one day. But I was also wondering in terms of. All those like 1,000 people, all Korean or generally East Asian?
It was. I would say that it was a very Korean event. Mm-hmm. So at E27, for example, at E27's event at Echelon, you usually have a lot of people from other countries.
Yeah.
But I think that in the case of B-Launch 2012. I would say at least 80% of the attendees were from Korea.
Okay, so Sakan, when I was attending events in Japan, there is a translator thing that I can listen to. So mm-hmm. is everything conversed in Korean and then translated to English, or is it just pure Korean?
Correct. It was everything, and that was another amazing thing, because that's not a given in countries where English is not the primary language. So they had for the entire 2 days, for every attendee, everything that was said on stage was translated into English or into Korean.
Wow.
That's... So they had like simultaneous interpreters there, and those transmitter thingies, et cetera.
Yeah. That was my first. Really experience of it when I was in Japan, and I still remember it very clearly in a tech conference with this translator thing, and I just rely on it every time when the speaker speaks Japanese.
Right.
Well, what about in terms of the content of the conference? What did they focus on? I mean, the tech scene of Korea, or what are the interesting things that's been happening in Korea? I mean, it's our first glimpse to that market, actually, to you, actually.
Right. I mean, what they did is, again, they focused very much on startups. It was very fundamental things like, how Korea can build out their startup ecosystem, how Korean startups can go global, and what the difference are between the Silicon Valley and the Korean ecosystems. There was industry-specific talks, for example, on gaming, which was very interesting for me, or on mobile, and all those things. So it was basically about funding, how to get funding as a Korean startup, how to exit when everything goes well, et cetera. So it was a very wide field of topics that were covered there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the site. It's actually... quite interesting actually to look at that. And I mean, kudos to B-Success.
What?
B-Success.
Before that, I'm going to let Sakan get away with this. Any interesting startups that we have seen?
It was difficult.
I was actually thinking of putting this under the trend, but never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't worry.
I mean, the thing is that, I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I think that it gets increasingly difficult, without any recent hardware innovations in recent years. I mean, the iPad was, I think, the latest one for really new ideas that basically blow you away from the startups. I mean, every startup I saw there, basically, I've seen a variation of it somewhere, or it's either that or the idea was not really that compelling. Right? I mean, it's really I'm very harsh because you know for the last 5 years that's the only thing that I've been doing. I've just been looking at startups, and it's very very hard for these startups. It doesn't have anything to do with Korea. I think it's a problem everywhere. To come up with really like innovative concepts that totally blow you away. Mm-hmm. If I had to single out one startup that I saw at the event, it would be a gaming startup called Planary. So that gaming startup, it's a Korea-based startup, and they developed a 3D engine for social games. So it's their proprietary technology, and they had a demo. Where they showed one game in action that uses this engine, and I was just blown away by it. So those guys are on track to do a great job with their game engine.
Right. Are they already being funded, or are they still in the process of looking for funding?
Yeah, they're in the process of getting funded, but I think that they will have no problems because their team has consists of members who have been in gaming like for over 10 years or something. I mean, the CEO alone, he's been in the business for, I think, 15 years. So I think that those guys know what they're doing, and they can talk English, which was a good experience, and you know they could communicate with me, etc. So that was one startup that I could single out there because the technology was really strong, and the other startups that were there were okay, I think, but again nothing that I've never seen anywhere else.
Are they still doing any, is there any focus on, say, specific spaces like mobility or maybe education or maybe, you know, e-commerce exactly. Mm-hmm. in the Korean market?
Yes, I mean, I think that it's basically the same that you see everywhere. It's mobile and social. There was a contest, so 19, so a lot of stuff. Startups have applied to get on stage and pitch. So 19 of these startups were eventually chosen and pitched on stage. So the winner was a company called Knowre, Knowre, and that's basically an education a startup that's focuses on children's education. So, because you just mentioned education as one of the fields, this company, they won the Plug and Play Tech Center Prize, and they also won a free ride to demo in California, that's completely for free for them.
Sorry, wow. Just a side thought. I always think like Plug and Play is now just giving away incubation space. They're like everywhere, basically.
Except they don't put money in anything, right?
Yeah, they don't put money in anything.
Yeah, it gives me that sense.
So the guy from Plug and Play Tech Center, he was also there. So the president, he was also there, and he was there with another person.
Must be Sai and Judge.
Yeah, there were some guests from the US also.
Okay. Right. Well, any US VCs around? Like maybe your Sequoias or there's Grey Logs and Andreessen Horowitz's.
Not the super big guys, but there were a couple of also from American VCs running around for I think Maverick people from Maverick Capital were there, Altos Ventures, but also some VCs from Korea that have strong roots in Silicon Valley. So those Korean / American venture funds, they were basically all there.
Okay.
Well, that comes back to us last week in Echelon 2012.
Yeah.
That's probably third year in running. Oh, Serkan, you missed some quite interesting talks this year, actually.
Yeah, I know. I will definitely go to Echelon next because I also missed it in 2011, and I don't want to miss it in 2013 again.
Oh, right. So this time around, Dave McLeod turned out, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was just...
That's the surprise gift.
That wasn't really surprising. I mean, if you actually check through, like, the Echelon Facebook event page, there was a couple of us, we were talking about Dave who was coming. Yeah, but Dave just wanted to come and just look at the whole scene and what's going on and enjoy some chili crabs, actually.
Right. So yeah. Did you manage to have 3D cribs with him? You did?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of food tour and stuff like that. But I guess the more interesting thing was actually, there were quite a lot of new faces there that you mentioned. And I think according to like what your theory is, there's a renewal in people coming to Echelon. And we don't see a lot of old faces in Echelon. Like, we didn't see the Play Moolah guys, girls. We don't see a lot of those older startups who were previously involved in Echelon. So, like what you said, this is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good thing. And also, there's a lot of Australian, New Zealand VCs turning up in this conference as well. Mm-hmm. There's one big change. And I think there's a lot of ongoing movements in the Singapore market. So, there's quite a lot of things been happening. I think there are a lot of good news happening ever since after that week. Mm-hmm. About a couple of companies receiving investments after that.
Right.
Why don't you actually share with us what were the interesting startups that actually caught your eye?
Oh, well, the winner of this year was pretty interesting. It's actually a B2B business. Do you consider B2B or B2C?
It's B2B.
It's a social network for construction industry people.
It's definitely B2B.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty unique. It's from Thailand, actually. It's called Bulik, BULIK.com. And it's Thai, and their proposition is pretty interesting because they help to sort of network in the construction industry as a vertical in Thailand.
If I got a tidbit correct, they actually run by a CPA model a CP cost per referral model. And it comes up to about like $40 per referral, but it's a very targeted niche. So it's actually very interesting to look at. For me, it's actually this company from Indonesia called Bistip. Essentially, it's a social marketplace for peer-to-peer courier. Basically, you want to get someone else to, for example, if I know someone is going to Japan and I just let him carry the stuff to pass to Sekar.
Well, that would be easy. We can use Bistip to send stuff to him. But yeah, so I think the other startups are all there. Like, for example, redmart.com, there is dropmyemail.com. They all have booths in the area. Even Panda, they have people dressing up as Darth Vader and stormtroopers walking around and pandas walking around. And this year, the big companies are all there as well. But they have their own booths. In fact, Microsoft for the first time put a Surface in Echelon. So people could actually touch it actually with the Windows 8 interface.
Yeah, that was quite cool. Do you notice a trend? I mean, I was actually exploiting this one from JFDI's launch and also this. I think we are beginning to see the rise of Thai startups actually.
Yeah. ShopSpot, for example, they are there as well. Mm-hmm. I think they gotten a lot of coverage even without really having any activity around. There's a lot of people talking to them, looking at them as a potential investee as well.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be something that we want to monitor more in terms of the rise of the Thai startups. Especially the past 6 months, we've been hearing a lot of up-and-coming new Thai startups, so this should be quite interesting.
Yeah, it would be good if we can get someone from Thailand. I know John Russell is probably the person to talk to on that, but we'll try to get him on at some point in time.
John, get on.
So the other thing I thought was interesting were the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So, Serkan, interesting story to tell you. So do you know that the co-founder of Rotten Tomatoes has been hiding in Hong Kong in the last 4 or 5 years?
So what has he been doing? He has tried to board an island after the sale, or what's the story?
Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't have that much money to go to this one of the top bars in Singapore to hang out with models and whatever. You know who I'm talking about.
Don't talk about me, please.
Is it? Okay. Anyway, so he was hanging out in Hong Kong. He did a startup on, I think, something on video social bookmarking. And mm-hmm. also a couple of things to do with... sort of like a, you know, think of the LinkedIn, but for celebrities in Hong Kong and China.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but he didn't make a lot of headway. From speaking to him, I think he's probably thinking of moving back to the US.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought his talk was very interesting. He told the whole story about Rotten Tomatoes. And because of the way they sold, well, they didn't have a big vision at the start, but he sort of took the lessons and sort of tried to work backwards. If they had tried to go big, what would it have become? And then he showed Netflix, he showed Flickster, he showed, you know, a couple of other startups that are involved, that has evolved beyond the Rotten Tomatoes model.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the biggest one is IMDb, right?
Yeah, correct.
IMDb has sold to Amazon, you know, I can't remember the exact number they made, but I think it's much, much more than what Rotten Tomatoes was sold for.
Yeah, but I thought his story was quite heartwarming, because a lot of the Rotten Tomatoes co-founders, they have set up families, and he talks about more these kind of the realistic thing that happened to them. And he sort of went out like a few months without accommodation. He actually lived in the office like every day, kind of thing. I don't know. Danny, were you there at the talk?
No, I missed the talk. But I had a chance to talk to Patrick a bit outside. And that guy is he's highly intelligent. And I think in terms of the timing was also wrong at that point in time when he saw the company. It was essentially post bubble. The people, it's not at this point in time where, you know, the valuations are crazy and etc. I think if he actually decided to hold on way longer, and it could be something big. But I'm looking forward to see what he plans to do in the future, and also like we need to get him on the show. I think we talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We are going to get him on the show at some point. Yeah. So the other thing I thought was interesting was the David Weekley's talk, which I missed.
Oh, David Weekley is fantastic. I mean, this guy has a lot of energy. And I know the talk is, like what Christy Moore would say, it's like so 2009 over in the Valley. But it's very relevant over in, especially Southeast Asia. A lot of startups are still thinking about, hey, you know, we should raise this much of money and compete with Valley prices, but it's all about lean startup. It's all about finding the right pivoting, building the right team to pivot together. And so David's talk actually strike back a chord into everyone in terms of like, hey, I know this is what's going on in the Valley, but this is what you should look at over this region. You don't have the crazy valuation. You don't have the crazy amount of VC who's throwing money at you, or you don't have your founders who have exits who have a lot of money. So this is the practical steps you should take to actually build a startup.
Mm. So which panels do you go to? I miss all the panels, by the way, because I had a couple of meetings there with various VCs and etc. Yeah,
I was at the one with the mobile one where Somil and Brian was there.
Oh yes, we forgot about Real Wonder Kid Brian Wong. He stole the show for the 2 days, I think.
Did he?
Yes. So can you met him, right? The last time in Open.
Yeah, I was hanging around with him for a couple. I think for 2 or 3 days when we were together in Malaysia at Daniel's event.
Yeah. Open Malaysia.
Yes, so his startup is doing well, and he's doing a around the world trip at the moment.
So I heard he was actually in. Sorry, this is a slight rumor. I heard he was actually in Hong Kong and Shanghai and Beijing. And do you know what was he doing there? I mean, we had lunch, but we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it was such a publicized lunch that everybody started going to that place and look for us there. Okay. But anyway, I think he's going to Japan. I think Sakan. As well.
He does. Okay.
Yeah. I should have realized. I think you were in Korea then. I think he was there for 1 or 2 days, and then he's moving to somewhere else.
Okay. Interesting.
So
I think he should bring his startup to Southeast Asia though, right? I mean, because all these gaming startups in Southeast Asia, or other kind of game startup in Southeast Asia that's active in Southeast Asia says, you know, look, we can't sell virtual items, right? So if you can't sell virtual items, why don't you use Keep's model in order to make money that way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because if a teenager in, I don't know, Manila doesn't have enough money to buy a virtual item, they will certainly be interested in what Keep's advertisements will bring them, right? I mean, that works.
But there's one thing that Brian Wong absolutely hates, and that's clones.
Yeah.
Do you remember that conversation we had with him?
Yeah. So there's actually There's actually a startup that was actually exhibiting in Echelon called Gimme, which is an exact clone of, well, it's not an exact clone of Keep per se, but according to Brian Wong, allegedly they stole some codes and they are doing the exact same thing for with Keep. So, yeah, I talked to the guys actually when I asked them, like, hey, you know, what's the difference between you guys and Keep? They said, oh, yeah, Keep is a ad network and we are a marketplace, but isn't it an ad network is a marketplace for ad?
I'm actually deliberately make this as a segue because there's a story about Germans in Asia again. So I think maybe I should let Saka start the story first in Japan and then we will follow up with the rest.
Yeah, so Rocket Internet, the guys, from Germany, they are operating an e-commerce site here in Japan called Locondo, locondo.jp. It's basically a Zappos clone. So those guys have set up a company in Japan in October 2010 called Jade Group. And that Jade Group is operating Locondo, basically in Japan. But now, after 1.5 years of operation, it seems to be the case that they are having a financial trouble. So the word is in the Twitter sphere, the word is that they are not that they are struggling to get profitable.
Really. So wait, let me ask you, the founders, the so-called founders of Locondo, which is definitely funded by the Rocket Internet, yes. what type of background are they, the people?
I'm not really sure because my strength is not really e-commerce, but what I do know is that they are Japanese people, and the thing is that not only is the management team Japanese, but they also have secured money from Japanese venture capital companies here in Japan.
Right.
Itochu Technology Ventures is one of them, for example. But still, even though they launched the site in February 2011, mm-hmm. So you can already make some assumptions whether the journey is going to be a successful one or not. But again, the rumor that's circulating right now is that they are in trouble.
Right, they just fired the Zalora's country manager in Indonesia. Anyway, mm-hmm. That's my data point, and I think the groups of people that they fire seems to be coming from one kind of background.
Can you dare to elaborate?
So most of the people that seems to be fired seems to come from a consulting background. That means they're former consultants, basically.
Okay.
From very big companies like Bain, McKinsey's, your Bains, and whatever. That's why I was very curious about the Japan clone.
But are the guys that you also have like people like such as like Rico, who is actually he's formerly from Tankyo, and he was the founder of Even Panda. But yeah, Rico actually didn't stay too long at Rocket Internet.
Yeah, he. I think he stayed for a very short while, right?
Yeah, I think it was a 3-month stint actually to help set up the thing.
But speaking of which, Rico stalked me in City Hall.
Why?
Oh, he put a message on Foursquare and is on Twitter and say, hi, I saw you stalked. With a Foursquare location. I was in Starbucks, basically, mm-hmm. in City Hall.
Okay.
Yeah. But I guess the other one that's interesting is the Rocket Internet's Square clone that's happened already in Vietnam, Philippines, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, called PayLiven.
Oh, yeah. We've been always talking about this. This is the main issue about e-commerce, the e-commerce boom in this region. And there needs to be some unified mobile gateway, payment gateway, basically.
Well, the question I'm sort of interesting is that why everybody's cloning Square?
Because the e-commerce is still the best bastion of making money.
So, Saka, is there any Square clone in Japan?
Not really, but PayPal and SoftBank, the country's third biggest mobile subscriber, mobile carrier. I'm sorry, they have set up something that's very, very reminiscent of Square, to say the least.
Okay.
Wow.
In Malaysia, there's actually two square clones, basically. Yeah, and one of them is MPay. The other one, the problem with actually setting up the square clones in Malaysia is basically the fact that they have Bank Negara, which is our national bank. They have regulations against foreign people. So it's really hard. It took PayPal a couple of years to even set up in Malaysia.
Right. So PayPal Singapore has been making a lot of headways recently in Singapore. So maybe it's kind of interesting to sort of let a lot of people know that there's an increased adoption in PayPal in the last 1-2 years. In fact, the largest bank in Singapore, the Development Bank of Singapore, and also Singapore Airlines have adopted payment through PayPal, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what Daniel just mentioned, you know, this like Pan-Asian or Pan-Southeast Asian payment solution, right, that works on PCs, on mobile devices, et cetera, I mean, like in the short term or even in the midterm, can this be another player like PayPal? I mean, I don't see any other company or startup that's out there that could make this happen, actually. It could only be PayPal, right?
No, it can only be PayPal because the regulation for all these type of financial payments by each of the governments in Southeast Asia are very, very heavy-handed.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it's
in Japan, too. It's the same thing in Japan.
So it's impossible to have electronic payments really going somewhere unless you're big enough like PayPal. Yeah. That it has a lot of lobbying to do as well to get that kind of thing. In fact, there's another Square clone in Singapore called SwiftPay. They're funded by the National Research Foundation as well. They are a direct competitor even to Square and to this new PayLevin thing. I don't know how they're going to fight it out, but they sued a partnership with all the merchants in Singapore. So based on a proposal to IDA, but how much would that give them competitive advantage? I don't know.
So question. I want to check. What's the historic acquisition model for the Samuel brothers? Actually, do they buy stuff?
They don't buy stuff.
Okay, but so this is the thing, because as we all mentioned, in terms of Southeast Asia or Asia, there's the regulation is so hard for someone to get in, and even took PayPal or what. Would they actually consider like buying local players?
I don't know.
What do you think? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know, actually. But Serkan, what's your experience in Japan about acquisitions?
I don't think that the Samba brothers have ever acquired another company. Did they?
They usually sell companies to people. They don't acquire.
Yeah, they don't acquire. But this situation is so unique that it requires them. It's either require them to spend a lot of money to lobby, or the fastest way to grow and to come up with something that can compete with PayPal is to buy companies.
No, they can't, because to do PayPal in Southeast Asia, you've got to have a lot of staying power. Because PayPal's been in Singapore for a very long time, since 2004, 2005, and till today, only until recently, Singapore starting to have traction. It can tell you how difficult PayPal has been doing. I think they're recently ramping up operations in Singapore. They're starting to hire people in tech roles and, you know, business development roles. So I don't know whether this is going to be possible to have another type of startups that are like that, that they can acquire.
Well, then, if that's the case, all I have to say, long live Elon Musk. You are the Tony Stark of our time.
Is that the case? Wow.
Dude, that guy is the rock star, man. I mean, from payment, he cracked the payment thing. He cracked solar energy.
Okay. Before that, okay? We still have one thing that we haven't talked about is WWDC last week.
All right.
What's the impact for Asia?
Go ahead, Sakan.
Yeah, you can start.
The impact for Asia?
Yeah.
Difficult. I think it's it's another nail in the coffin for Japan's electronics makers, for example.
Really, that bad?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. If you look at the Japan electronics makers, right? I mean, all of them. I think there are about 10 big ones or something, and all of them they just suck. right? I mean, all of them. I mean, Toshiba is the only one that is like so-so at the moment, but the Sharps, the Panasonics, the Sonys, et cetera, and the NECs, the Hitachis, all of these companies basically just suck. It's not only when you compare them to Apple, but also when you compare them to Samsung and to LG, for example,
from Korea. It's not doing that well, but it's still better than the Sonys and etc.
Can you imagine if those guys, if Apple comes up with a TV, would it close down the entire Japan OEM industry?
Yeah, I mean, Sony is already thinking about how to. They want to remove the TV business from their core business, and then maybe reintegrate it later. But I think once they remove that business, I think the there is basically almost no chance that it will ever come back, right? I mean, if Apple really did introduce the Apple TV during the event. I mean, then it would basically be the death blow to, especially to Sony, because pricing-wise, there's not that that big a difference between the markets that Sony is after and Apple is after. Just that Apple is just the much, much better company at the moment.
Right. Well, I thought the biggest news for me is how much Apple has integrated with the China social networking tools for the iPhone in China.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So I thought that what was interesting was Weibo was integrated. I think some of the QQ stuff is also integrated. It's extremely tight to the Chinese market. I think they even had the, you know, Siri to recognize Mandarin, Cantonese, and Hong Kong. I thought that was something big for Asia.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. In terms of Siri moving into Asia, that is something we are. I mean, there's going to be Korean, Chinese, Cantonese, and yeah, Apple is going big in terms of trying to come up with another layer so you will not use Google.
The maps, yes. Then do you think it's going to be a problem for Asia, Sekan, in terms of the maps?
There's no map support for Asia, is there?
Not yet.
I don't think so, though. No, Singapore, they have. They showed the maps app, and I think they show even Singapore and Japan cities during the WWDC, the keynote.
Oh, really?
They showed Singapore. Okay. And said, we have maps everywhere. And they literally just be telling Google, you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem is that I personally see, what I've seen like in the demo that they showed there is that, you know, it's butt ugly. So I don't want to use that.
Well, I think Google Maps will still be allowed on the... Otherwise, they have a lot of antitrust lawsuits going.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, but I guess just before we're going to be wrapping up very soon,
one more point.
What's the one more point then?
Yeah, the one more thing in WWDC, it was the fact that iOS 6 is actually it supports almost everything. It supports from iPhone 3GS to iPhone 4S. So
yep.
Fantastic.
Well, there's iPhone 5 coming in September. We know that.
Yeah, that one, whether it's called the iPhone 5 or the new iPhone, we have to know. So, can't say. Okay, let's move on.
Well, the last thing is, what's the big thing that Microsoft is going to announce today in 3 hours' time? I mean, people, all our audience will hear it later, but at least we put on the record what we predict.
No one wants to take this, so I go first. The big rumor is actually tablet, but the issue is actually Microsoft is actually announcing it in LA, which is actually quite weird because they had an E3 event in LA about 2 weeks ago. So I think it's actually some movie deals they actually have in terms of doing maybe some movie Xbox deals or something like that.
Yep, I heard something about Xbox at $299, starting from the year 2013.
Wow.
Yes, that's a new Xbox. That's a new the so-called Xbox 720. But I don't think that will say anything today. You know, it's just two weeks after E3, right?
Yeah, that was why I find it strange. After E3, you've got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that has puzzled the entire tech community anyway, right? I mean, everybody's asking themselves what Microsoft is going to announce today. I mean, I think it's a very unusual time. You know, if it were a big announcement like a new tablet or something, right? I mean, wouldn't you want to make it, and this is something that Google always does, right, to steal Apple's thunder, they're like placing these events before the Apple events, right?
Well, maybe because they did it the last time around and it failed horribly before the iPad, so they do it after this time around.
Could be, yeah. Maybe you have some learning effects.
Well,
yeah.
It also could be the fact that they've actually forgot to announce something at E3.
But that's not unlikely. The other rumor is that they're acquiring Nokia, Yammer, or whichever company you want to name. Nokia is unlikely because they're screwed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're just waiting for the price to go down further and then they'll buy up Nokia.
Yeah.
But what about Yammer?
I'm not too sure about Yammer. I don't think anything significant is going there. Or, I mean, the other thing could be Microsoft announcing another movie. They already did something called Control Out Compete, where they actually featured Veronica Belmont, Brian Wong. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm totally lost with the whole Microsoft thing, but we can only wait and see.
You know what? If Microsoft is going to announce something really silly, mm-hmm. I can tell you the backlash from the tech community is going to be really bad.
But I can tell you this thing. If you put into perspective, this is the first time Microsoft is getting so much attention, like so much secrecy because no one knows what's going on. And according to what I understand, those people who have received the invites do not have even a location like where the event is going to be held.
Oh, you haven't heard the other part, the Microsoft employees in Singapore saying we are told to embargo for the next 24 hours, no comments to press and everything else?
No, yeah, I mean, I think that Bernard is right. I mean, this should better be a really, really big announcement.
Yes, like a big-ass tablet.
Yeah, well, we can wait till next week in Asia to talk about this.
Right.
Right. So wrapping up, so Sirkan, where can we find you?
Before we wrap up, just have to thank our sponsor, Audible.com.
Oh yes, forgot about Audible, our sponsor. Yes, what have you listened last week?
I have not listened to anything, but I want to recommend something called Ready Player One. Essentially, it's a book about this multi-billionaire who created this virtual world called The Oasis, since we're in Asia, anyway, that we are crazy virtual worlds people. And he died and he left clues. So it basically became like an Indiana Jones kind of thing where people work together to find clues to his fortune.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
Yep. Yeah, and should really check out that book. It's highly recommended by Brian Brushwood, basically.
Right. So that's it. I haven't listened to anything lately interesting, but I will give mine in the coming week then.
Okay. I think we mentioned about trends, so we have nothing. There's no much interesting trends. Just a recap in terms of the companies that we look at was actually there are up and coming Thai companies around Asia. Sokka, do you notice any interesting trend before we sign off?
Not really. No.
No. Okay.
But the one
mobile social. You know, it's a usual suspect.
I sort of want to tell the story that there's a lot of e-commerce activity happening in Singapore. Fashion space, I think, has just received funding. There is an indoor GPS company called Wi-Fi has also received funding as well. So I think the funding things is getting better this 2 weeks. That's all I got.
Okay, cool.
That's a good trend, though.
Well, looks good, lah, but we will have to see what else is happening as well. Yeah. Anyway, Sirkan, where can we find you then? Sirkan Toto?
On my personal site, sirkantoto.com, where I blog about mainly about social networking and social gaming in Japan, but also on Twitter, Sirkan Toto.
Hey, Sirkan, do you still write for Asia Jin?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
You still write for TechCrunch, right,
yes.
As well, right?
But for TechCrunch, it's really on just once a month, maybe, or once every 6 weeks. So, roughly the same for Asia Jin, though.
Okay.
I don't have enough time anymore.
Cool. So, listeners, please go to sirkantoto.com, okay? That's the plug.
Exactly.
Yeah, and follow him.
Yep, and follow him. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Okay. So
yeah, you can even add me on Foursquare, because I never use it.
That is the best joke of the day.
Sorry, I didn't expect that coming.
Yeah, I will add you. I will add anybody on Foursquare. No problem.
Okay. You know what? Once in a while, you should just check into some place random, like just
yeah. maybe you should check in some like big company's place and so that people will be left guessing what the hell is going on.
I guess so. I could do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I can be found at Dennis Aventis. I'm actually working on the upcoming TEDx KL that is happening on 14th of July. So, brother, I'll be seeing you there, or is it?
No, I'll probably be staying put because I'm starting a new job next month. Everybody, you can still Google me at Bernard Leung. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Awesome. That's all for this week in Asia. And if you have...
Second, many thanks for coming here on board.
Oh, no problem, sure.
Yeah. It's always nice that you have a German here. And
yep.
We should... Actually, you know what we should do? When is the final for Euro, actually?
One more week's time. One and a half weeks time.
Do you want to do a Euro special?
Well, if you can, and if Serkan, if it's Germany in the finals, I'm sure Serkan will want to come on the show.
You're asking if? Of course they will be.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Okay.
That's a given in my head.
Okay, cool.
On. Okay. So if you have any
signing off?
No, yeah, signing off. So if you have any questions, just email us at info@thisweekinasia.net or follow us at thisweekinasia on Twitter. And if you have any podcatchers, we're going to try to actually syndicate this more in different ways you can download it. I know you're already listening it, but yeah, we just have to tell your friends like what's going on. All right?
Yep. Please like our Facebook page. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so see you guys. Bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.